We've been studying in the book of Genesis. And we've gone through Genesis chapter 1. And we started in at the end of Genesis chapter 1 was the issue of God creating man in his own image. And that's a pretty interesting statement, is it not? You have a God who created all things, was powerful enough to do whatever he wanted. And instead of creating things in a way in which, you know, he was just completely dominant and everything was a slave, he chose to share his glory with his creation and created us in his own image. That's just an overwhelming thought to me. You know, we think about grace and we know how God shared his love through his grace. Rich, are we good to go? Did I? All right. I don't know if I messed you up by starting too early. I should have waited for the go signal. But it's a wonderful thought. And then we come over to Genesis chapter 2. So we go all the way through heaven and earth. Go ahead, open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. And we come to this statement. Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. So everything that was in heaven and earth. You remember when we talked about the creation account? We talked about everything in creation. It wasn't just the heaven and the earth, but all that in them was, it's now finished. That would include the angelic host, all the creatures on the earth, and mankind. And he says, on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So we see here the issue of the seventh day. And so last week we started a study of the Sabbath. Now what I want to be clear about, and I don't want to confuse, is when God rested, this is not the Sabbath. On the seventh day of creation, it doesn't say that God rested and he gave the Sabbath to Adam and Eve to keep throughout their generations. The Sabbath day is not the seventh day rest that God did. This is not when God gave the Sabbath. And so, but we're going to talk about this because the issue of God's rest, when it said God rested, did God rest because he was tired? Do you serve a God that, I mean, look, he was powerful enough to create the heavens and the earth, all that dirt, the matter, the stars. Do you think, I mean, if he would have got tired in creating it, I think he would have got tired after the first star, right? I mean, that's a lot of effort to create something. The issue is God didn't rest because he was tired. There was a specific purpose in God's rest. And what is God's rest? And so I thought it would be important for us, even though this right here is not when he implemented the Sabbath. What is God's rest? To understand the Sabbath that he gave and to understand his purpose in both the Sabbath and the rest. And so that's what we're studying. We began that study last week. We'll do a quick review. And let me go through the questions that we covered last week, because I know all of you were on the other side of that video screen last week, right? You all followed through for every minute of the study, and you know exactly where we're at. So this is not for you guys, because I know you guys were there and you paid attention. This is for all the people who are just now joining and weren't there last week. But last week we covered a couple of questions. One of those questions is, why did God rest on the Sabbath day? And like I just said, it wasn't because God was tired. It was because when you do a big job and you complete it, what do you do after you complete a big job? You enjoy the purpose for which you had done that job, right? I don't know. Let's say you build a deck off the back of your house. And after you get done building that deck, what do? You sit on that deck. It's a nice day. Boy, this deck is really nice. I'm glad I built it. You know, you're enjoying the purpose for which you created the deck, right? You're going to go out and enjoy the deck rather than staying in the house because you created a deck, obviously, because you wanted to be outside and enjoy it. My purpose being is that when you do a big job, when you create something, when you make something, there's a purpose for which you're creating it. God had a purpose for which he created the heaven and the earth. And the rest was to enjoy that purpose for which he had created. And so God's plan, but before he had created heaven and the earth, that God's plan was that he was going to dwell in the earth and that he was going to rest with and be with his creation. And so because Adam had failed then, the seed of the woman had to come and reclaim God's position in the earth. And God had to implement a plan of redemption. And that redemption plan is the subject of prophecy in your Bible. You've heard before there's a difference between prophecy and mystery. There's a difference between earth and heaven. There's a difference between Israel and the body of Christ. And all of this comes together. And so God's redemption plan is the subject of prophecy in your Bible is the issue of a people, right? You had Abraham and Israel, the land and the kingdom. And what was God going to do when he brought in the kingdom? Look, this whole issue of the prophecy, what do we have here? The kingdom is prophesied. What do we have here? Jesus Christ comes. The kingdom is at hand. What did they go out and what is the message that they're preaching to Israel in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's what they're preaching over here. The kingdom's offered, right? The kingdom is at hand. They came preaching the gospel of the kingdom. In early Acts, the kingdom is offered. Why? The whole point was Israel, you're to be the kingdom on the earth. God was going to use Israel to set up his kingdom upon the earth. Israel was God's vessel to reclaim the earth, the purpose for which he had created it. If you were studying in our studies if you were with us in our studies at the end of Genesis chapter 1, we were talking about how Adam was created to have dominion. He was told to have dominion in the earth. Have dominion, subdue it. That was the purpose for man. Now man obviously screwed that all up, messed up God's purpose. So here comes Christ along to fulfill the purpose that God have in creation and to bring about that kingdom upon the earth where God is able to rest and enjoy the purpose for which he had created. Now, by the way, the church, the body of Christ, is not Israel's program, right? And so because we're in God's plan and purpose to redeem the heavenly places. So when we talk about God's rest here and God's rest in the earth, there's a difference in the two different programs. We also cover the question of who did God give the Sabbath to? Ezekiel chapter 31 says the Sabbath is to Israel. You look in Ezekiel chapter 31, God says, "Speak unto the children of Israel." He says, "It's to be a sign between me and you throughout your generations." He says, "The children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath." And he says, "It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever." I mean, God makes it very clear that when he gave the Sabbath, it was to Israel. Who did God give the Sabbath to? Israel. Okay, that's very clear. The reason why the Seventh-day Adventist Church goes around and tells people they have to keep the Sabbath, and the way that they convince people, by the way, this was some of my next points that I'm getting ready to cover here about the nature of the Sabbath that we covered last week. The way that the Seventh-day Adventists are able to go to people is they say, "Look, do you see the Sabbath?" Yes. You know, they show people the Sabbath from the Bible. "Do you see how it's required?" People say, "Yeah, I see that's required." And they'll say, "Why ain't you keeping it?" They'll be like, "Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. I should probably be keeping it." And what they do is they put them back under Israel's program. They make them think that they're Israel. And that's why there's confusion over the Sabbath today. And then the people who aren't Seventh, at least the Seventh-day Adventists get it right that it's on Saturday. And at least they get it right that, hey, here's what you're supposed to be doing on it. What do all the other non-Seventh-day Adventists, what do they say? Sabbath is on the Sunday, you know. Come to church, and then you should rest. But just by going to church, you violate the Sabbath. How did you get to church? Did you take a horse and buggy? Because if you didn't take a horse and buggy, and you went out into your car, and you put your key in the ignition, and you turn the key, what does an ignition do? It ignites. What does it ignite? Fire. What was Israel told not to do on the Sabbath day? Not to light a fire. What was Israel told would be the consequence if you violated the laws of the Sabbath? Capital punishment. You were to be put to death. So those people who are telling you, observe the Sabbath on Sunday, you shouldn't go to work. You know, they'll put you under the law, right? You shouldn't go to work. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. Oh, but you better come to church. Make sure you light that fire and get here on Sunday morning, right? So they pick and choose which parts of the Sabbath law they want to keep. They don't even know the laws behind the Sabbath. But they'll tell you to come to church. All they know is don't work. But they don't know all the other laws around the Sabbath. So I'm just pointing that out to say we as Christianity, we need to understand the Word of God. We need to rightly divide the Word of truth, because if we don't, it leads to confusion, and that's where we are as a majority, right? We don't understand. We're living in confusion. But the Sabbath was not given here in Genesis. The Sabbath was given to Israel at Mount Sinai when Moses gave the law. After they came out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, and by the way, when they crossed the Red Sea, what was that in a sign of? Like they were going in to inherit what? The Promised Land, right? So here we have a sign of Sabbath rest after they come and are after they're delivered out of the hand of the Pharaoh of Egypt, who's a type of Satan in the Bible. So after they're delivered from Satan, what do they get to experience? God's Sabbath rest. Ah, that's a foreshadowing of the rest that's going to be come when God sets up His kingdom. We've already talked about how the Sabbath is Saturday and not Sunday. The Sabbath is not going to church on Sunday. It's not, oh, you're overworked during the week. The reason God gave the Sabbath is because He knows you're overworked and you need a day to rest. That's not why God gave the Sabbath. God gave the Sabbath for a very specific doctrinal purpose. For a certain people to understand His plan and purpose. And that's what I'm hoping to get to. So then we left off, and this is where we pick up this week. Is what is the purpose of the Sabbath? So I'm saying that God gave it for a specific purpose, but I didn't get really a chance last week to develop this idea of what is the purpose for which God gave the Sabbath. The reason that God gave the Sabbath was that the Scripture says it was to be a sign. What does that tell you? Well, number one, that tells you that it's not a moral law, because signs are not a moral law. Right, he gave the Ten Commandments, and he tells you don't murder. Is that a moral law or is that a sign? That's a moral law. That's not a sign. He says don't covet. Is that a moral law or is that a sign? That's a moral law. The fourth commandment was to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. It's the only one. It's the only commandment that's given that's not a moral law. And so, it's a sign. What's a sign do? You remember when we were studying through Genesis chapter? Were you here when we were talking about the stars being there for signs? I can't keep track of when it was we taught on that. What's a sign do? It shows you something. It reveals something to you, right? They put signs on the expressway to give you some information, right? This is your exit, stupid. You know, the signs tell you what you're supposed to do. And so the Sabbath is a sign. It's a sign for the nation of Israel. It's a sign to the nation of Israel as a of their covenant between them and God. And it was to remind Israel of God's purpose in the earth and what Israel's role is in God's purpose in the earth. So we read Genesis chapter 2. Get Psalm 132 and Isaiah 11. Psalm 132 and Isaiah 11. So God's purpose on the Sabbath was His ultimate rest and dwelling place. Psalm 132, look down at verse number 4. I'm going to kind of skip through Psalm 132 here. Verse 4, I will not give sleep to mine eyes or slumber to mine eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord and habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Verse 7, We will go into his tabernacles. We will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest. Thou in the ark of thy strength, let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. When are the priests going to be clothed with righteousness? When the kingdom comes, right? They're going to be clothed with righteousness. And when the kingdom comes, let thy saints shout for joy. Verse 13, for the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. Where is his habitation going to be? Zion. Where do we read that the throne is going to be established? Jerusalem. The seed of David is going to come and sit on a throne in Jerusalem forever and is going to establish that kingdom for Israel. And so he says here, this is my rest forever. He's talking about, where's my habitation going to be? And when I have my habitation, this is going to be my rest forever. On the seventh day in Genesis, God is saying, I've got it all finished. My dwelling is ready. And I'm ready to rest and enjoy the purpose for which I created. But what happened after the first Sabbath? I'm sorry, bad terminology. What happened after the seventh day when God rested? Not the Sabbath. What happened after the seventh day when God rested? Sin and rebellion entered into the world. And it happened quick. Now, there may be some who disagree with me. I don't think that there's any room scripturally for the fall to be a long period of time. And when we get to Genesis chapter 3, we'll talk about that issue. But after the seventh day, before the seventh day came, I think man fell. And I think that we can look at that from Scripture. Anyways, the point being is that God institutes it, but before he comes down and dwells, what happens? Man messes it all up. Sin enters into his creation. So now what happens? After sin comes in, now God has to institute the Sabbath with Israel. He institutes the Sabbath with Israel as a sign of that glorious rest that he will usher in. Because what happens when he brings about his kingdom? Is that going to be a time of war, or is that going to be a time of peace? When God rules, things will be done the right way. And after the last battle in Armageddon, after that 1,000-year reign, and then there's another battle after the end of the 1,000 years, then the great white throne judgment, and then we have forever that comes after that, right? Eternity in the new heaven and the new earth with him reigning in his kingdom. Look, when that happens, what we're going to have is we are going to enjoy the purpose for which God created everything. It's a little bit difficult. Sometimes it can be difficult today enjoying the purpose for which God created everything. Right? David, you're having some physical issues. Linda, you were talking about physical issues. We have spiritual issues all around. We're in a spiritual warfare, right? It can be difficult to enjoy the purpose for which God created everything. But when he brings about his kingdom, we'll be able to enjoy that. Look at Isaiah chapter 11. I asked you to turn there. Isaiah chapter 11. Read verse number 10 with me. Isaiah 11 and verse number 10. It says this, and in that day there will be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. Who's the root of Jesse? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, to it shall the Gentiles seek. Now notice this, and his rest shall be glorious. Glorious. That's a beautiful thought, is it not? When he comes and establishes his kingdom, the rest is going to be glorious. The Sabbath that God gave to Israel on Mount Sinai was to show God's purpose to restore the earth under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ that is vested in redeemed Israel under the new covenant. It was his man fell. Now what is God going to do to redeem creation? What was God's plan and purpose that we're going to read about when we start studying further through Genesis? He chose out a man, Abraham. And he says, Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great nation. And we have Abraham, we have Isaac, we have Jacob. And who comes from Jacob? The 12 tribes of Israel come from Jacob. And then they're given a land. And then David's promised the throne. So if you have people and you have land and you have a throne, what do you have? You have a kingdom. That's going to establish a kingdom. And so the purpose is that how is it that God is going to restore his initial purpose after Adam fell? The way that God's going to restore it is through a redemption program where the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come. He's going to offer the kingdom to Israel. He's going to bring in what is called, what did Israel look forward to? Did God preach the gospel of the grace of God to Israel in the Old Testament? What was Israel looking forward to? They were looking forward to a new covenant. Why? What was the old covenant? The law. What was the new covenant? God was going to change Israel himself from the inside. Replace their stony hearts with heart of flesh. He was going to make them righteous. Now, so my point being is, this we're going to see this Sabbath has to do with God showing Israel what their purpose is in redeeming the earth. God's two purposes. Dwell in the earth, the kingdom, with man. He's going to come in and dwell with his creation, right? Dwell with man. What's God's name? What is one of God's name? Emmanuel, God with us. God's going to come down and dwell with his people. The second thing is that God's going to provide rest in this earthly kingdom. So he's not just going to come down and dwell with man. He's going to provide rest for everyone. That means in the ages to come, out here, everybody's going to be able to enjoy the purpose for his creation. You know, Paul tells us that in the ages to come, the fullness of time, when God is all and in all, don't you think after God has established the new heaven and the new earth, that God is all and in all, that things will be perfect, will they not? And then we'll be able to enjoy that perfect plan for creation that he had from the beginning. Turn over to Exodus chapter 19. Keep Isaiah. We're going to come back to Isaiah chapter 40, but turn over to Exodus chapter number 19 with me. Exodus chapter number 19. That issue there of God dwelling on the earth, I want you to see that. Exodus chapter number 19, and look over at verse number 3. Exodus 19:3. We're talking about the issue of God dwelling on earth with man, and it says this, "And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant," which covenant is that? It's the covenant of the law, it's the covenant of circumcision, right? What do you have to do in order to be saved in Israel's program? You have to be circumcised, and you have to keep the law. Now does that mean that you couldn't violate the law in one part or else you lost your salvation? That you wouldn't wind up being saved? No, what that meant is you had to continue to keep the law, and then there were offerings that were provided for when you transgressed the law. But the point was, you couldn't just say, you know what, God, that whole law thing you have going on there, that's not for me, but let's be cool, me and you, right? No, that's not how it worked. The covenant that God gave them is, you had to keep this. You couldn't opt out. The law was necessary. He said, back in verse 5, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, and ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people." Israel was set aside from the nations of the world. They're going to be a peculiar treasure to God above all people. They're going to be separated. God has a purpose for Israel, a specific purpose for them. Notice what it says, "For all the earth is mine." God's talking about his purpose for the earth here. "And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests." What are we talking about? Talking about a kingdom. And you're going to be a kingdom of priests. You know, Israel had one tribe, was the priesthood tribe, the tribe of Levi, the Levitical priesthood. And in order for that tribe to minister as a priest, what did they have to do? Before they could go into the temple, they had to cleanse themselves. How did they do that? With water. So they're going to be a kingdom of priests unto God. So when John the Baptist come preaching and baptizing people, what was that to prepare Israel to become? That was to prepare Israel to be the kingdom of priests to implement Israel's kingdom upon earth. It's not an inward sign of an outward confession, you know? It had a purpose. Boy, you know, people really throw the Bible in the trash can when they take away the purpose for which God gave things. God gave the Sabbath for a purpose. He gave water baptism for a purpose. And you need to understand those things. God is serious about His Word. His Word matters. His Word is truth. And if you don't follow it, you go into error. Error leads to confusion. Confusion leads to apostasy. And it's all gone. That's exactly what Paul was telling Timothy when he was warning him in the book of Timothy about setting up the local church in Ephesus. They're going to be moved unto another doctrine. What happens when they're moved unto another doctrine? Apostasy. It's all gone. Oh, well, there's no harm with water baptizing people. I understand water baptism's not for today, but there's no harm in it. Are you teaching people what the purpose is of water baptism? When you go up there and you're condoning this ceremonial cleansing today of water baptism, are you saying, hey, this is for Israel, everybody? No, they're not doing that. My purpose is it leads to confusion. You're moving away from the doctrine, leads to apostasy. The Bible means something. That's why we're studying the Sabbath here. We're seeing the purpose. So they're to be a kingdom of priests and holy nation. Now, if Israel is to be a holy nation, what does that mean? That means that nation is going to be set apart, right? There's going to be, that's why we talk about this middle wall of partition here. And you say, wow, what is that middle wall of partition? That sounds like some extravagant doctrine. You know, it's really not that complicated. What does a wall do? It separates things, right? So all we're saying is that in time past, when God was dealing with Israel, there's a wall between Israel and the nations of the earth and how God was dealing with mankind. That wall was, if you wanted to be in covenant relationship with God, you had to circumcise and keep the law in order to be saved. And if you were a Gentile who wanted access to God, how did you get access to God? Enter through the door and come into Israel's program, get on the other side of the wall, become a proselyte Jew. That holy nation was setting Israel apart for the purpose for which God had for it. And when people come along today and say, you're spiritual Israel. Oh man, I'm getting going. When people come along today and say that you're spiritual Israel and that Paul's epistles are, you know, applicable, that this is for spiritual Israel, what you've done is you've just taken the whole Old Testament, you've taken the whole prophetic program, thrown it in the trash bin because you're saying that God is not doing what He planned and purposed to do in time past. That all of those things that He said He was doing is not what's going on today. I mean, it makes you can see why people are confused. To say that Israel was not a holy nation, to say that they don't have a specific purpose in the earth, and to say that you're a part of that when obviously Paul's instructions are different. No wonder we have confusion today. God had a purpose with Israel. They were to be a holy nation. And so God's purpose with Israel, does God's purpose with Israel center upon the heavens or the earth? God's purpose with Israel centers upon the earth. God wants to come and dwell on the earth. So we're talking about the Sabbath here and the purpose for which God created it. And this Sabbath is going to show Israel God's purpose. Just in case, Israel, you forgot what your purpose is, here's my Sabbath. And I know we haven't gotten that far yet. And I know at my pace, I probably won't get there tonight, so we'll be here next week talking about it. But that Sabbath had a specific purpose to show Israel what God wanted them to do. When he says, remember the Sabbath, when he tells Israel to remember the Sabbath, he was not just telling them, remember to take a day off because you're tired. That's not what God was telling them. And we will get to that. Isaiah chapter 40, look at verse number 22. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 22. It says, "It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain." So he's talking about God who stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, "and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in." So we're talking about the Sabbath being about God's purpose for rest, having a place to dwell, and his purpose in the earth, to be able to enjoy that. One of God's purposes in creating the heaven and the earth is to create a place for him to dwell. That's one of his purposes. And so God's intent is to dwell in the earth, Emmanuel, God with us, dwell in the earth, not to be God afar off, right? Not to create things and be God afar off. He's to be God with us. He wants to dwell with us. And so he has an earthly people to accomplish that goal, the nation of Israel. In the seventh day is God's purpose in creating the heaven and the earth, and that he sanctified it and set it apart for that purpose. The Sabbath is a sign for God's purpose in creation. Look at Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter number 25. Where's God going to dwell? Matthew 25. We saw that he chose Zion, right? Look at Matthew 25, verse number 34. Matthew 25, 34. "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." So here we have a judgment, and he's got those on the left and those on the right, and he says, he's going to say to the ones on the right, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom." They're going to inherit the kingdom where there's rest. God's intent in creation is that he would come and dwell in creation with us, and he's going to provide this. He's going to share this with us. Every Saturday, Israel had a reminder of God's purpose in them and God's purpose in the world. And so the body of Christ, again, to be clear, is not an earthly people. We're a heavenly people. And so if we can establish between last week, this week, and next week, that the Sabbath was a sign for Israel for God's purpose in the earth, and you understand that the body of Christ is a heavenly people, then you can see why the Sabbath is not for the body of Christ. Now, that's assuming I go about and establish the point that we're hoping to establish here. We already established the point that it was for Israel. So we saw those verses last week. You can go back and get those verses if you want to. And now if we establish that it's for Israel and it's for the earth, and we know that the body of Christ is for heavenly places, who does the Sabbath obviously apply to today? It's not in effect today because God's not working through his chosen nation of Israel today. God has cut Israel off. He has considered them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. So today, there's the church, the body of Christ, where there's neither Jew nor Gentile. So if the Sabbath is a sign for the Jews throughout their generation forever, and there's not a Jew in the body of Christ, because there's neither Jew nor Gentile, but we're all one in the body of Christ, then where's the Sabbath applicable today? It's not. So Israel was to be God's instrument to restore his authority in the earth. And that's why he instituted the Sabbath with Israel at Sinai and not with Adam on day 7. Because Adam didn't need to restore anything. So God didn't need to give a sign to Adam. There was nothing to give a sign of. Because nothing needed to be redeemed yet. Because Adam hadn't fallen. And so there was nothing there to be restored. But now God needed, now that there is a fallen creation. Now that there is sin and God needs a plan of redemption, now he's going to give a sign to show his plan of redemption. And so God is going to rest from this on the seventh day. Let's look at a few more scriptures. Go over to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. So when God rested, he rested from his creative work. It came to a stop. It came to a rest. But you know, the seventh day omits a certain description from it that the other 6 days of creation had. Do you know what that is off the top of your head? On the seventh day, the terms evening and morning are nowhere to be found. Now, why is that so? Why is it that, you know, God says evening and morning, first day, evening and morning, second day, evening and morning were the third day. All the way through, he gets to day seven, there's no evening and morning. Why is that so? What is it that the seventh day rest is signifying? Eternity over here, right? Eternity. When God's purpose is established. The seventh day symbolizes rest. That rest will come with eternity. And in eternity, do you remember what the scripture says about eternity? There is no night. There's no night. So no evening. And eternity is forever, so there is no evening which leads to the next day, right? And the evening and the morning were the first day. Then you have another day that comes after that. Well, there's no evening and morning on the seventh day because there's no next day in God's plan and purpose. After the rest is brought about, there's no next day. It's God who fills all in all, and the perfect creation comes about, and here we are in perfection. There's no evening and morning there, for the sun is the light. There's no sun up in the sky that's going to go down and we're going to have a moon at night. No, because God will be the light that fills, and God will be all and in all. So that's an interesting point. That's what Paul calls the dispensation of the fullness of times, right? When that's put into play. I told you to get Matthew chapter 11. Look at verse number 28. Notice what Christ tells Israel here. I'm sorry if I'm being repetitive. What does Christ come preaching to the nation of Israel? The gospel of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom. Israel, the kingdom is here. Repent and be baptized. And they were to believe that Christ is who he said he was. He was going to be the one who sat on the throne in the kingdom, right? So they come preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And here's what Christ says about an issue of rest. He says in verse number 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Where is it that Israel is going to have rest? Israel is going to have rest in the kingdom. So when Christ comes and he says, he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and he says, "Come unto me, ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What's he talking about? He's talking about the kingdom. He's talking about that kingdom rest that Israel was going to receive. Turn over to Revelation chapter number 4. Israel is going to have rest in the kingdom. So when Christ of Hebrews, real quick. Revelation chapter number 14. And what we're looking at now is that rest that God promised. I told you he had two purposes. He was going to dwell with man on earth, and that he was going to bring about this rest. And the rest is not, well, we're tired, we could use a rest. The rest is God's full purpose. Revelation chapter 14, and look at verse number 9. It says, "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture, into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night." Notice that there. I mean, that's an interesting way to put it, right? I mean, he's talking about, look, it's a barbecue. The smoke is going to ascend up forever and ever. And the phrase that he uses is that they have no rest day or night. That's an interesting word to use, rest. I mean, look, you just told me that the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. Rest isn't even on my mind right now. It's more like, how bad is it? But when he says they have no rest day or night, they're not going to enter into God's rest. They're not going to be a part of God's perfect purpose for creation. No rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Who are those that keep the commandments? That's Israel, right? "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors." What is it that they're going to be able to enter into? They're going to be able to enter into that rest that Christ talked about. They're going to be able to enter into that glorious rest that Isaiah talks about. Those who die in the Lord. Israel was given the law, and the law was a burden. The law is a burden. Being under the law and that tremendous burden, working, if you were under the law, what word would you be looking to symbolize that hope that you have coming to you? Rest is a pretty good word, isn't it? But rest is so much more than being able to sit down and rest a little while to recuperate. That rest is perfection, the purpose for which God created creation. But you can understand how Israel being under the law, the burden of working, that law, you remember what Peter said at the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15? "Why put we a yoke upon the Gentiles which we nor our fathers were able to bear?" Look, we're talking about the Jews who really wanted to try to keep the law, and what did Peter say? We couldn't do it. We couldn't keep the law. And not only could we not keep it, what did he call it? A yoke. You know what a yoke is? You put that yoke on someone, on the neck, and it's a burden, isn't it? So when God comes and talks about his purpose for Israel and what he's going to establish in the earth, what term does he use? Enter into my rest, and it shall be glorious. Let's look at a few more verses before we end tonight, okay? Both of them in Hebrews, so you won't have to travel far. Hebrews chapter number 3. Hebrews chapter number 3. All right. Hebrews chapter number 3, look at verse number 7. "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." Oh, there we go. Remember, Joyce, we're talking about you show people God's voice, you show them the truth. And what does he say? Harden not your hearts. When you hear it, what's your response going to be? Is your heart going to be hardened? Or is it going to be soft? And are you going to receive it? "Harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Oof. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do alway err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. They haven't known his ways, so what's God going to do to them? What's their punishment going to be? So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter unto my rest. What was the punishment for Israel who was in rebellion against God? You will not enter into my rest. What does rest signify here? I know we're just being basic here. That rest is signifying God's kingdom. That purpose for which God had. So just on a very basic level, when God gives Israel the Sabbath and tells them to rest, and they're thinking about what that rest means, because we'll talk about it next week. When God gives Israel the Sabbath, what are they doing that whole day? He tells Israel, you are to rest on the seventh day. It is to be a holy convocation unto me. You're to rest. And when Israel isn't doing any work and they're sitting there on the Sabbath day thinking about the rest, what are they to be thinking about? God's plan and purpose in the earth. What God's plan for Israel is, what God's purpose for Israel is, and what God's purpose himself is to do in the earth, and how Israel was to bring that kingdom about. So he says in Hebrews, I swear, that generation that was in the wilderness after Mount Sinai when I gave the law, that generation, they all died in the wilderness, right? None of them got to enter into the Holy Land, the Promised Land, right? The Promised Land as a symbol in heaven, as a symbol in the Old Testament of God's rest, of his kingdom upon earth. They didn't get to enter into God's kingdom. So what did God say? I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. They shall not enter into my rest. And they never did. They never did. They didn't get to enter into that rest. Psalm 95:11, you don't have to go there, but Psalm 95:11 says, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. He repeated that back. He said that back in Psalm. He repeated it in Hebrews. What was their punishment? What's the punishment for the unbeliever today? You go to hell. What was the punishment for the unbelieving nation of Israel in the wilderness? They didn't get eternal life. They're not going to be a part of God's rest. Because in God's rest, what does he give to creation? He gives them life. He gives them life. And they're going to be able to partake of that tree of life. That's back in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter number 2. Which we'll get to right after we talk about the Sabbath. All right, Hebrews chapter 4, and we're done. Hebrews chapter 4. We're talking about this issue of rest here. We just got done in Hebrews chapter 3 talking about that unbelieving part of Israel that was in the wilderness. They died. They didn't get to enter into his rest. Notice what it says now in Hebrews chapter 4. So we're kind of continuing that thought process from Hebrews 3. It says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 1, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest. What was Israel's promise? Israel's promises, they would enter into God's rest. That's what they were looking for. Lest, a promise being left of us entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Boy, you'd hate to come short of entering into God's kingdom, wouldn't you? Who's the book of Hebrews written to? The Hebrews. What period of time is it written to the Hebrews? Back here when God comes and he's dealing with the nation of Israel again? And so what does he tell Israel here in the book of Hebrews? It'd be a terrible thing if you fell short of the rest that's coming. Pay attention, Israel. You know, don't fall short. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So he's talking about, you know, he was talking about back in chapter 3 about those who fell in unbelief in the wilderness. Those who were wandering in the wilderness, they fell in unbelief. And so what do you have to do? You have to have faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. Even those keeping the law had faith because they were believing what God said unto them to keep the law. So please don't mistake that I'm saying that they didn't have to have faith. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For, boy, every verse here I almost want to stop and talk as it relates to this issue of the seventh day rest that we're talking about here. You saw that he's talking about here, I lost my place, in verse number 3, is it there? That enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So he's saying, I finished back there. I finished it. And I told you I finished it in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. I told you, I finished it all in 6 days. And then I rested. He's saying, it was all prepared back there from the foundation of the world. Verse 4, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Who was it first preached unto? The ones back there who died in unbelief, right? Again he limiteth a certain day, saying to David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Notice verse number 8 here carefully. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Oh, this is interesting, right? Did Jesus give them rest back here? He didn't set up the kingdom, did he? He didn't usher in rest. There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Now, we are out of time. Do you see the connection there between God giving the Sabbath, the issue of the rest, and God's purpose for Israel? It's all interconnected. And next week we'll spell out how God gave Israel some special Sabbaths. And on these special Sabbaths, it spelled out his redemptive program. And so therefore Israel had the picture of the redemptive program and God's plan and purpose in the earth through the Sabbath days. You're not a prophetic people. You're not the nation of Israel. You're not looking forward to the wrath coming. You'll be called up to meet Christ in the air. You're called to redeem the heavenly places. The Sabbath is for the people who were called to redeem the earthly place, not the heavenly places. So don't be fooled today, thinking you have to keep the Sabbath. We'll continue the study next week, and I hope you come back and continue the study with us. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We're thankful, Lord, for this time in your word. We pray that it has been insightful and has helped us to dispel confusion and help us always, Lord, to be as that local body of Christ, Lord, the local manifestation. Help us to be that pillar and ground of the truth and to rightly divide the word of truth, dividing truth from truth, and helping people to see the difference between your program for the earth and your program for the heaven that's been there since the beginning of creation as we study through this book of Genesis. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.